Love you. Good evening, men. What a blessing to be here with you, huh? Yay, what a great time this is going to be. But we still got some work to do, don't we? Yeah, let's pray. Father, we come before you and thank you for who you are, what you're doing in our lives. And we ask, God, that you would just come and visit us in a new and special way. Even this evening, Holy Spirit, come and fill us, that we might be about your work and none other. Let it be the priority of our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, many of you don't know this, but I just got through going really through the toughest sickness of my life. I was here just a month ago for the 20th annual pig roast that celebrates U-Turn for Christ time here. And my wife and I got COVID. And I'm over 60. I'm overweight. I'm a diabetic. And I had heart surgery 20 years ago. And I tell you all that because you know what the scientists are saying, the doctors are saying. Those are all underlining issues that lead to death with this coronavirus, and it hit me really hard. It was 3 weeks before I could get out of the house, and it was a month before I was back in the pulpit for the first time. But I only tell you that to tell you this, that I didn't come to this place for just another meeting, that I didn't come to this place for just another men's conference where men come together for a couple of days and then go home the same as they came. I came to this conference to be able to gather with men of God that want to leave here radically different than when they came. Amen. And men, if we're going to do that, then the first thing that we have to do is repent. Jesus started his ministry with those words, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And listen, men, we can't go forward until we deal with this tonight. You see, I don't care how good, and believe me, it's going to be better than you expected when Pastor Sandy Adams comes and he gives us a lesson in sermon writing and preparation and delivery. It's going to be even better as we see Pastor Tony Clark come and deliver a message that's passionately bound with the beauty of education and Holy Spirit mixing together as only he can bring it. It's going to be awesome to be able to be here for the first time for me to meet Pastor Frank after hearing him and listen to him and seeing the gifting that God has given him and the blessing of him being one that simply teaches the truth of God's word. And I can promise you, because I know Pastor John Miller better than any of the others, that he's one of the most gifted expositors in all of Calvary Chapel, and he will bring to bear the passage of Scripture that he has been given for us to this conference. But I want to say this, man, because I'm telling you that none of that will matter if we first don't get this right. If we first don't come before the Lord and repent from our compromising ways as we have allowed for the world to be as it is here in America because the church has compromised in who God called us to be. And men here in this sanctuary tonight know that they have compromised in their own lives. I'm going to point out a few of those compromises as we continue through this passage, but we need to repent, guys, if this conference is going to be all that God wants it to be. James in chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And I'm convinced that we have become men that have set standards and then we've waned away from them whenever they've infringed on our comfort zone. Most of us have become comfortable with not giving it all, but giving less than all or less than the best whenever we think we can get away with it. And we have come to the place where we're even willing to cheat if it means that we can get to our end desire. tonight, our challenge as men is to be like Daniel in a compromising world, or that we would be set apart, having hearts of integrity for the Lord. Paul wrote it this way. He said, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And so throughout Scripture, we are told that we're to come away from the world, to be separate, to be those that stand out, if we will, as a light in the darkness all around us. To no longer be a part of the world or be given to the things of the world. The Apostle John in 1 John wrote, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." And so tonight, we're going to be challenged to be those that would stand as a bright light in a dark and fallen world, even as Daniel did. Would you turn to Daniel in chapter 1 with me as we look at our text this evening, remembering that the reason that we come to this place in Israel's history is because the majority of Israel had come to a place of compromising in what God had called them to be, and now find themselves in this position of allowing for God, seeing that they would have to go through the consequences of their sin. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure of the house of his God. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men, in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them daily provisions of the king's delicacies and of wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And to them the chief of the eunuch gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Men, Daniel was a different prophet from many of the others that we find in the scripture. He's not one that stands up and rebukes Israel, bringing the word of God to bear on the nation like some of the others. And yet Daniel is set before us as a prime example for us to follow. He was from royal descent. The word tells us he was in his teens when the Babylonians came into Jerusalem, taking control of the city and the nation, and taking Daniel and the others captive. It's interesting, as we look at the scripture, there is never anything negative said about this prophet Daniel, but it is only said of him to be one of two in the Old Testament that were called the beloved of God, the other being Solomon, the son of David. The name Daniel is an interesting one, one we have to note as we begin. And it simply means God is my judge. And Daniel kept that name before him all of his life long. He knew that there was only one that he would answer to. And men, that is a truth that you and I need to keep before us as we live our lives in this day that we're living. That there is only one that we are going to stand before. God is my judge. Well, let's go back to Daniel and take a look as we move through it. He says, in the third year in the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar and to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure of his house. So as we begin to look at Israel being taken into captivity, let's understand that God had warned Israel for years and years that if they didn't stop in their compromise, there were going to be consequences. He warned them by the many prophets that came and spoke, of course, before Daniel's time, and those that were contemporaries of him, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Of course, Joel, and as we go through Habakkuk and take a look at Obadiah, many times the Lord would bring warning to Israel, and yet they continued in their compromise. I want to make sure that we hear this morning or this evening, and that is that the Lord is a God full of grace, but he tells us that his grace is not going to stand forever, and those that continue in sin will pay consequences for their sin. We see that in the nation of Israel. He was warned, they were warned as the Assyrian armies came and pressed in on them as they conquered the northern 10 tribes. They were warned and warned. And God just continues to allow in his grace for them to have the time to repent. And yet they would continue to compromise. Listen, men, if we don't lead our families, if we don't lead our churches, if we don't lead this nation back to the things of God, I am absolutely convinced that we're going to have to pay severe consequences. That you and I, the church, the men in the church, the ones that are called to be the spiritual leaders, need to stand up in this compromising world and be those that are light to bring the church, our families, the nation back to the Lord. Judah would not heed the warnings, and so they would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians and would suffer the severe consequences. We remember in Genesis in chapter 6 where the Lord simply speaks and says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. There comes a time when the Lord's grace is run out on the nation of Israel for their continued sin, and being a holy God, he must allow them to suffer the consequences of their sin. God's amazing grace is not to be treaded upon. And tonight, if you're one that knows that you've been treading upon the grace of God, you've continued to be able to stay engaged in that sinful activity that he's been speaking to you about, let tonight be the night that you repent. And let the night be the night that you get right with a right God, with a holy God in your repentance. Notice with me that we have a definite date in history that's given to us. And so we know in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that it is 605 BC when that siege took place. This is a book of history that we have before us. It's not a fairy tale. And I say that because so many times I've heard daddies speaking this book of Daniel to their children like it's a fairy tale, rather than the truth of God's word, and having to bear when the lion's mouths were shut that it was a miracle of God that allowed for the angel to shut the mouths. that men would look up and they would say to their children that we serve a God of miracles, and he's a God of yesterday, today, and forever being the same. And that you can depend on God to be able to perform miracles for you in your life if you'll be fully committed, even as Daniel was. We need to be men that stand up and take our rightful position as dads and speaking out the truth of this word. We know that as we look at the king here that is given to us, Jehoiakim was one that was Josiah's son. And yet the word of God tells us, after being the son of the one that would reestablish the word of God, the Torah, being brought back into the place of Israel's prominence, that he would be one that 2 Kings says did evil in the sight of God. He was a Judean king who was placed on the throne by an unbelieving Pharaoh of Egypt. And when Nebuchadnezzar was on his way to conquer Egypt, he defeats the Pharaoh and he conquered Jerusalem as well. But notice something very important in that passage with me. What the word says, it says, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand," which tells us that the children of Israel and their compromise in idolatry had gone so far that it commanded our holy God to allow them to be able to suffer in the consequences of their sin. Not over only had they gone so far into idolatry, but they had been for 490 years disobedient to the Lord and allowing for the land to have a year's rest every 7 years. For 490 years. And so what was the consequence? 70 years in captivity. A year for every seven of the 490 years that they were disobedient. Let me just ask you this evening. Have you been compromising in what is owed to God? Most of the time when a pastor says, "Have you been compromising with what is owed to God?" men kind of grab their pocketbook. I'm not talking about tithes and offering. I'm talking about your talents and your treasures. But I'm talking about more than that, your service to the Lord. I'm talking about, have you compromised in your life in getting to the worship service, the prayer meeting, even reading to your wives and your children as God has called us to as the spiritual leaders of the home? Have you been compromising in worshiping him and allowing other things to become more important than even that? Well, notice with me also that Daniel says they took some of the articles of the house of God, and many believe that Jeremiah had hid some of the articles before the Babylonians came in, even the Ark of the Covenant. Many believe to still be under the Temple Mount and some of the tunnels and caverns that are there. But what the word says is that he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. And so it looks like Jehovah has lost, as his articles went into the house of the pagan gods. But as we know, as we read the whole story that is before us, God wins in the end. The Jews had disobeyed God, and the consequences were severe. Men, may we just hear this lesson before us today, because it is all so important, I believe. And that is, disobedience brings severe consequences. That we don't escape that precept of Scripture, that disobedience brings severe consequences. Go back to the Scripture in verse 3 and 4, if you would, with me. It says, "Then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of the eunuch, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans." And so look with me at why Nebuchadnezzar wanted these bright men that were captured to be able to come in. Israel's future, if you will, to be brought in to his kingdom. It says to serve in the king's palace, which shows us that really Nebuchadnezzar was a brilliant leader, wanting only the best of those that he conquered to help him run the kingdom and to be able to oversee those that he took with him. It's also a great move by Nebuchadnezzar to do this, knowing that in conquering and having control of those men that were so bright, young men between probably the ages of 13 and 17, the word says young men gifted in all wisdom, that it was a great move because they were hostages now and their parents back home would not want to cause an insurrection. They would be obedient to the control of the new governor and those that would follow his direction. Guys, this is so important for us to see. The Bible says, whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. It's so important because it reminds me of modern day universities, doesn't it, you guys? As you look at this passage of scripture, they wanted to rob these men of their upbringing, take away their belief and their love for God Almighty, and have them strayed away by the lie of the world and what the world had to offer. How many of us have had compromising ways and not opening our mouth for the God of creation at times when we should have, because of fear or ridicule, or worse yet, because we didn't want to have to make a stand for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Men, it's time to repent of our cowardly ways. It's time for us to stand against the godless, atheistic, humanistic, socialistic agenda of our universities today. And to be able to make that stand by being those that will speak out and that will walk forward, allowing them to hear what we believe. To be able to vote for those that have godly principles and put them into place that they will be the ones in charge and ruling in those universities. Two of my three children have graduated from the university, but it wasn't without Dad pouring into their lives and praying over them, making sure that God's truth and His word were given to them in those difficult times when they were debating with those professors at the college. You and I need to take a rightful stand. I'm saying, men, we better take heed, lest we find our children going away to school and then being indoctrinated by the ways of the world and coming back to us children and young adults that we never knew. We must quit hiding from our responsibility of being dads and being engaged in our children's lives, and especially at that age, because so many times I've seen parents raise their children in the way of the Lord, and then when it comes time for college, they send them off to college, and they think their responsibility is over when they pay for their place to stay, their books, their food while they're at college, rather than being engaged in their lives and making sure that they are staying on track with their walk with the Lord. Dads, it's your and my responsibility as spiritual leaders of the home to make sure that we do everything that we possibly can to help them through those difficult years, that you and I would be men that would repent from not being active in our children's lives when they get to that age. Well, in verse 5, he goes on, he says, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuch gave names. He gave the name Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and Meshach, Mishael, and to Azariah, Abednego. And so we see here that Nebuchadnezzar has a secret plan. He's not just a nice guy that wants to take care of these young men. The plan is to give these young men the king's meal and wine in exchange for a changed heart, for a changed character, if you will, for changed convictions. Proverbs 28 and verse 21 says this, "To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress." You and I need to recognize it's so important for us to see here that we need to stand fast on the things of the Lord, given to His Word like never before, and not let anyone take us away from the things that we know to be true by putting some kind of bribe before us. Listen, I want to make sure that we hear this evening, guys. Many of us and our children are being swayed away by people that have influence over their lives. Many have been swayed away by bosses that want to give them a better job, more money, if you will, more power, more authority, a better position with strings attached. All you have to do is give up your Sunday. All you have to do is stop sharing Jesus in the lunchroom. And many have bit in, if you will, to the things of the world and done exactly that. Gone for the promotion and given up being with their family and leading their family to the church in times of worship and allowing them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 15 and verse 27 says, "He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live." We see here Nebuchadnezzar had a lot more in mind. He wasn't a nice guy. He had an agenda. He wasn't one that wanted to just take care of the men, but he wanted to change their names, to indoctrinate them in Babylonian culture and change the inner man, or the very character, if you will, of those that came from Israel. And by the way, you can look up their names later when you have a chance. All the names that they had, the Hebrew names, pointed them to Yahweh. And all the Chaldean names pointed them to pagan gods. So here's a question for us again this evening, guys. Are we feeding on the things of the world that point us to pagan gods? Or are we feeding on the things of God that point us to Yahweh? Have we sacrificed the things of God and given them up for the things of the world, compromising in who God has called us to be? I believe it isn't any different today than it was in Daniel's time, that we have the same choices that Daniel had. We have decisions to make, and those decisions are either going to be those that are given to God in His way or given to the world and the things of the world. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 12. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies, let me just beg you, by the things that you haven't gotten from God that you deserve to get." What is it that we all deserved but hell for all of eternity? Only the gift of God in Christ Jesus allows for our sins to be washed away and for us to have a right relationship with the Holy God. He says, "Brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let us be those that place our minds and our hearts, our action and our lives based on the Word of God. Back to Daniel in verse 8. And the Word simply says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart." Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Remember that he's a young man, maybe 16 years old when he is there. And he has not refused, Daniel has not refused their education. He's not even refused the name change, if you will. But he will not disobey God's word, and he will not partake and eat and drink of the king's delicacies. Let me make sure that we recognize what a bold move this was by Daniel, as no one came against Nebuchadnezzar and his orders. We need to all be like Daniel's guys, ones that show respect without compromising. Without compromising our character, we need to show respect, because bosses are going to want us to go out drinking after the hard work day or work week. And you and I know that as we sit here this evening, that there are times when men and even women will want us to go with them and be contrary to what the Word of God says. You and I need to be as Daniel was, those that purpose in our hearts. Bosses want us to go drinking. Professors want us to bow at the throne of evolution. And so the same opportunities to stand are in our society as they were in Daniel's. I remind you of Peter and him ministering the gospel to the Jewish leaders in Acts chapter 4. And what they said is so important. It says, now when they saw the boldness of the men that love God, the men that were going to stand for Jesus and proclaim the gospel everywhere they went, when they saw that boldness, the Word of God says this of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. May we be men that are known for being with Jesus. Men that are known for the study of his word to show ourselves approved to God, a worker who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Men that are committed to that time of prayer and being in intimate relationship with the Creator and Savior of our souls. Guys, we need to be those that make bold stands in our society, just like Daniel, just like Peter and John were making here. Daniel's making a bold stand, a bold spiritual stand, guys. And the king's food was not going to be allowed. He knew it was not kosher. He knew that it probably had been given in most accounts to the worship of false gods. And Daniel knew that eating of the food would mean that he was agreeing with the Babylonian thinking and having communion with him. And he would not compromise. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? We need to be Daniel's, guys. We all need to be Daniel's in our world today. And look back with me for a moment there, just at why I believe the key to Daniel's move was, and that is that Daniel purposed in his heart, or his mind was already made up. Before the temptation was brought before him, his mind was made up, long before the food and the wine was ever going to be set before him. We need to be those kind of men that purpose in our heart. Because once the food and wine, once the promotion, once the new job, once the woman is set before us, many times the temptation is too much, isn't it? Unless we have already purposed in our heart. Listen, guys, I'm sure in a room of this size, there are some of you that are dabbling with drugs. There are some of you that have been having sex with a woman that you're not married to. There are some of you that are in this room that are out drinking with the boys on game day and using it as an excuse. And I'm telling you that if we don't get real with God, if we don't repent, none of the next 2 days are going to matter one bit to God, because we're not fooling him, and he is holy. He is holy. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." God will meet us. He'll meet us right in the middle of those temptations if we purposed in our heart to be those that are committed to him, to follow him, to serve and honor him as our Lord and Savior. We have to purpose in our heart now to be able to have the victory when those temptations come. Daniel was a child of the Most High God, and he knew it. He was committed only to one thing, and that was pleasing the Lord. Guys, Daniel didn't make the break from Nebuchadnezzar's orders to change their names. He knew who he was. He was Daniel. There's only one judge for me, and it is God. He didn't make the break. They could call him whatever name they wanted to call him, but he knew that God was his judge. He didn't make the break when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to educate him in Babylonian culture, because Daniel was educated in the Word of God. He was cemented, if you will, in the Word of God. He had parents, obviously, that raised him to love and to serve the Lord. And so nothing could shake his convictions. I believe that Daniel makes his stand on the food and drink because he knew it was in direct opposition to the Word of God. And he was going to be one that was obedient to God's Word. I see Daniel's bold spiritual stand coming from those convictions that were cemented by the Holy Spirit as he was a young man. And I want to talk to the men here for a moment that have children. Train up your children in the way they should go. And when they grow old, they will not depart. How important it is for us to be engaged in the training of our children in the ways of the Lord. All too many times, men pass that responsibility to our wives. But it is our responsibility as the spiritual leaders of the home not to compromise, not to hide from, but to be engaged in the training of our children. Guys, we need to be a people that make bold spiritual stands because we have spent time in God's Word. Men, we need to be Daniels in this fallen world. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And I just want to speak to you for a moment about a couple of those compromises. Because I believe the Lord wants to do something fresh and real and new and holy tonight. He wants to be able to break down the walls and give forgiveness. He wants to change the way that you are and have you go radically different out of this place tonight. He wants to allow you to know the freedom that only he can bring. Guys, there's a story told of jewelers. And you know jewelers, when you go to buy a diamond for your fiance or for your wife, the jeweler always brings out a black velvet and he lays it down and then he puts the diamond on top of that velvet so the contrast is clearly seen. We live in a dark world, don't we? Nobody can deny it. There's all kinds of filth and sin all around us. We need to have that contrast between our lives and the world. We need to be diamonds for the Lord. We need to be Daniels. And that starts by us repenting of our compromise. Would you bow your heads?